everyone, and welcome back to Huddle Talk. We have our fourth guest with us today, and we are delighted to have him with us. He's a good friend of Eurostar and is a great presence at all conferences. So we have Bart Knack with us. He is an IT consultant at ABN AMRO Bank. And Bart, thank you for being with us today.
Well, you're welcome.
It's great to have you.
I'm not really sure what to say, good morning or good afternoon, because people can listen to this at any time, but well, let's call it good day.
Yes, exactly. Of course, any people can listen back to this whenever we want. So Bart, thank you so much for being our fourth guest. I'll get started with a couple of interview questions, if you wouldn't mind. Can you tell us about your experience and background in the industry?
Right, well, if you mean the testing industry, I did my studies in IT in Delft in the Netherlands, after which I went into a development job at one of the big telecom companies. But at some point, someone decided that because of my background, because I did some studies on formal methods, that I would be the ideal person to lead the test automation team. I still don't know why, but it actually happened that way. And then I got into testing, well, test automation, and then later into testing, and I never got out again. So I did kind of the reverse angle. Most people either start in testing and then try to get into development, but I went from development to testing.
Yeah, I mean, it happens a lot. I hear a lot of people saying similarly with you. UK started this year. I was listening to a couple of speakers and they just said that they've just fallen into this industry. It's not necessarily something that needs to be studied now. The best developers and the best testers are people with not an IT background. They just fall into the industry and they become the best testers.
Yeah, well, I have an IT background myself. So in that sense, I might be a strange duck in the pond. And I do believe that at the end, if you want to become a good tester, and I'm not saying it's necessary, but I think it adds to your value if you have some development skills as well. I'm not saying you should be a perfect developer, but at least knowing what the development principles are can sometimes help you in being a good tester. And I also believe that during the Millennium Crisis, we just took anyone into IT that could spell the words IT. And that also, well, that did not necessarily do as much good at that moment. If we had more formal training for people, it would have been better. There is a trade-off.
Exactly. Yeah, I agree. I mean, is it something that you always chose? Did you always choose this career? I mean, was it something that you studied in school, or did you always know that this would be your career path?
No, I had no idea.
No idea.
I studied IT because I thought that computers were interesting. And actually, my father said, well, you can learn about computers later on, do something useful like physics or something like that. So I ignored that comment, and I just went into IT, which of course is interesting because I really have seen all different aspects of the IT world, and that I ended up in testing and doing test conferences and stuff like that. No, that was not the intended career. I probably wanted to be a pilot or a fireman when I was a kid. I'm not sure anymore.
Would have been a very different career for you.
Yes, it would have.
Do you think that the role of the tester has evolved over the years since you started?
Yeah, I think it definitely has. And one of the things that I already said, I think that we have a lot of people in testing that have had no real formal training, and that by itself is not a problem. But I think that there are some skills that we would require for a tester, like critical thinking and being able to analyze stuff that, well, does require some kind of, and of course you can be auto detect and you can teach it yourself, but you can also follow courses on that and actually become better at it while doing your job. So I think that, it has changed. I think that specifically with all kinds of new techniques coming in, we have other challenges. However, if you look at it from a bigger picture, and that is something that I'll say sometimes, it's not about the systems you test, it's about what you're going to do to them, and whether you are testing a highly developed new technology or something which has been evolved in 30 years ago, the basic principles of testing, like critical thinking, stay the same.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, I agree. I mean, what areas would you specifically say have evolved for the tester? I mean, is there something that's completely different now that you need to have, that you need to have those skills?
Well, at the moment you see a lot of companies going into Agile,
yes,
or going into CI/CD or DevOps. And that means that you are more or less required to become a bit more T-shaped. Mm. So you do not only need to know about testing, you also might need to have some knowledge on the areas that are surrounding testing, like requirements analysis or development or deployment. So that means that even though you do not want to be an expert on those areas, you still need to have some information on them to be able to collaborate better with your peers. Mm-hmm. However, I think a good tester could also do that in the early days. So in that sense, it doesn't really change much, but it's now more accepted or should I say, required of a tester to have a bit more skills outside of the pure testing.
Do you think that there'll always be a need for manual testing then?
I think there will always be a need for critical thinking.
Yeah, okay.
And that is something that you cannot automate. So critical thinking as a human aspect, as well, be looking at a system and see what could go wrong and critically be critically about that is something that will never change. And that will always be necessary. So manual testing, well, not necessarily, but critical thinking, yes.
So what exactly, moving away now, so what exactly are you working on right now, Bert?
On a number of things.
On a
number. I'm coaching a number of teams in becoming more agile and also to work with CI/CD, so test automation. And the big challenge in that, of course, is that we encounter a lot of teams that consider themselves to be agile, but, well, let's put it mildly, say that they're agile in name only.
Okay.
And that is across multiple customers. It's not just that the current assignment, it's across multiple customers that we see this happening, where Scrum Masters are really the previous project managers directing the team where they need to go. Stuff like that, where you're not, this is not really agile. That is a thing. And another thing is that I think CI/CD has become the buzzword, so everybody wants to do CI/CD, whereas a lot of our customers do not really need to be full-fledged CI/CD. They just want to have their delivery and their deployment processes speed up. So it's not that they really want to be able to execute this within every 5 minutes at every time of the day, but they do want to get out of the release cycles, which takes them months to get something to production. And that, of course, is something that you can do with CI/CD, but you can also do with a good set of lean principles and using the lean process.
When you approach these teams, What skills do you think that the testers need on these teams to evolve and to adapt to the changing environment of testing at the moment?
Well, one of the things that we see in a lot of teams is that they want to do test automation. So test automation is one of the skills that you need to think about, and therefore not really necessarily building the frameworks, but being able to use the frameworks for test automation. But we also see that a lot of teams that want to do, well, testing do not really fully use the power of unit testing, which I think is the first step in testing to have it done properly. And that means that as a tester, you should also be able, and that is where a certain degree of development knowledge comes in, be able to assist a team and to help a team in setting up the proper unit test cases. And a lot of people say, yeah, but that's a development issue, that's what the developer should do. Yes, but I think that a lot of the testing techniques that we traditionally have as testers are very applicable in unit tests. To be able to read code and to be able to advise on how to unit test would be a good thing for a tester, I would say.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, of course, it's just, you know, sometimes we speak to people and they say how the industry just has changed, evolved so much, and there's just new and it's just a more competitive place for testers to be entering into at the moment. So it's good to know what you think is definitely a tester is essential apart from critical thinking. So yeah, I was looking back on footage of our conferences through the years in 2016, at our 2016 conference, you got up on the soapbox stage and you said that it's the end of the world for software testing. I don't know if you remember, but is this still the case? And do you still believe this?
Well, it's always nice that your comments are taken out of context.
So.
No, I realized that I said it at that moment, and I still think it is. It's the end of the world as we know it for testers. So it's not that we there's no world for testers anymore, but we need to evolve. We need to think about how do we pick up our tasks in a different way. So yes, the critical thinking is one of them, and like critical thinking is an essential skill over the years, I still think that a lot of testers could do with sharpening their critical thinking skills. So and that of course gives you an edge over the other 10 members of a development team to be able to do that in the proper way. So I think that, like you said, it's going to be harder to enter the world. It only means that you have to find out how that you can add value the best with your skills and knowledge set. And I think, like I said, critical thinking and maybe testing techniques, being able to have a independent view on the quality of the code, those are the skills that actually help you in, well, adding value to a team when you're as a tester.
Do you think that there's an emerging topic coming? Are we expecting more and more DevOps? What are we expecting for the coming years with testing?
Oh, that's an interesting question. I don't have a crystal ball, so I cannot really say this, but what I I see happening is a lot of companies, well, to be totally honest, I think a number of companies are still struggling into becoming really agile in a really good way. That also is a challenge for testing, because some people understand agile as everybody has to be able to do everything, so we don't need separate roles anymore, so why would we need testers? And I do not subscribe to that point of view. I think that you will always have people with certain expertises in your teams, and of course being T-shaped, they are able to help out in other disciplines as well. But you need someone with the critical mind and the tester's knowledge and the way, well, actually, like I said, developers do not always have the ability to really do the negative scenarios. I mean, a developer has more or less the mindset of the heavy flow. So he wants it to work. He doesn't want to check against the negative flows. Well, maybe he does want it, but he does not always have the knowledge to do so. So one of the things that I'm working on with a colleague is a presentation for development, and it's called Rainy Days. Okay. So what happens if the sun doesn't shine?
Very good. Yeah, sounds great. Yeah, I mean, off the subject, it was my first conference, actually, part of the Eurostar team at Copenhagen. And what struck me, and I know you'll agree, is the community, the software community. I mean, it's so unique. What's your opinion on the software testing community?
Well, I think the software testing community, on the one hand, has got this, well, how do I put this in English? That's always hard. Sometimes it's hard, easier to do it in your own language. We always have this feeling like the David and Goliath, you know, that we are small and we have to fight this giant, and we always are looking on the negative side of that. On the other hand, I think it's a very tight community, and you see a lot of stuff happening. Mm. But I think that if you look at the testing community, specifically if you look at the conferences like Eurostar, there's a lot of knowledge sharing, and there's a lot of insights that we want to share. But I think we should stop feeling ourselves as being a David, and we say, well, no, we have our own proper way of working, and we know how to do it, and therefore we add value. And I think the value add that we have, we do not market enough as a testing community.
Yeah, absolutely. We had a very special evening in Copenhagen at our gala night, and I mean, I thought it was just a fantastic way that we brought the testers together at Eurostar. And I know I'll always have a fond memory of you, Bart, taken to the dance floor first one. So, you know, I have such a fond appreciation for the community, and I think that the tester community, as someone who's not exactly in it, I think it's great that you guys have such a strong bond and can come to the conference like that.
Yes, I always enjoy conferences as well. Not only because of the talks, but also because of the fact that you meet peers, you have interesting discussions, you have some new insights, and it's also a good way to just go away from the hectic world that you're normally living in and reflect on what you're doing. Mm. So mostly when I get back from a conference, I have 6 or 7 new ideas I want to try out because of the fact that I've just been reevaluating my own work away from work, which is interesting.
That's great. And I mean, I think that I couldn't have an interview with you and not discuss the test lab. So the test lab is 10 years old this year, and we will be celebrating it in The Hague. Tell us how you came up with this idea.
Oh, that actually is a funny story, because I think, well, it must have been 2008 that Eurostar was also in The Hague at some point over there, and we were discussing at the post-conference drinks or at the networking drinks. I was just, well, I bumped into James Lindsay, who's a colleague tester. But I didn't know him at that moment. We actually never met before. I even remember calling him Randy Rice at the first moment, which was obviously not true. But we just had a discussion, and I was like, well, wouldn't it be nice if you could actually do some real testing at the testing conference? Because this is just sitting in and listening to talks. And I did not know at the moment, but he is a very fierce advocate of peer conferencing. So he said, yeah, that would be interesting if you could really test something at the testing conference. And then I said, well, then why don't we do it? And we looked at each other for about 30 seconds, and he said, well, yeah, why don't we do it? So we went up to Dorothy Graham, who was program chair of next year's Eurostar, and we said, well, we have something interesting for you. You want to have a theme testing in practice? Let's put it to practice, and let's have a test lab. And then Dorothy said, so what's a test lab? And James and I said, well, we don't know either, but we will know in a year, and then you will have it. And she said, well, cool, write an abstract and send it in, and we got chosen. option, and we did it. And the first year, it was not bad. It was a good test lab, but it was not nearly as advanced as it is right now. But we had a place for people to test and actually learn from each other, do pair testing, and actually get to know each other. So it was. It's not only a lab. It's also a meetup place for people to actually meet and work together and learn from each other.
I mean, the feedback is always fantastic around the test lab. I mean, people go with a genuine problem to be solved. You know, they go wanting to get something solved, and they do. And we have a questionnaire and we ask, was your problem solved? And 90% of people say, yes, it was. And the 10 say, well, no, but I know the direction that I'm going. So, I mean, it's such a fantastic concept. And, you know, congratulations to you as well, approaching this 10-year birthday that we will celebrate. So, I mean, it's a great story to have behind such a fantastic idea.
Yeah, it's actually born out of coincidence, but I think a lot of great ideas are born out of coincidence. So in that sense.
Yeah, I agree. So short and sweet, to wrap up, Bart, have you any words of wisdom for testers in the industry right now?
Well, like, I think that we need to, okay, once in a while, every 3 months, I just sit back and think to myself, what have I done the last 3 months, and do I really enjoy it? Did I enjoy it, or could I have done stuff differently? What are my opportunities? What are my challenges? And because I do that every 3 months, I never really get surprised by the next thing coming. And I think that's something that not only testers, but a lot of people could do, is just to have this once in a while, sit back and relax, look at the last, well, whatever time frame you're looking at, and decide, okay, so what did I do, and what's going to be my next step? And if you just keep on evolving yourself and just keep on growing and keep on identifying new skills and look at, well, what actually adds to your value as well, you will never be outdated. Wherever, if you just say, well, I know what I know, and I know everything I need to know, and just sit back and well, I would not say relax, but sit back and don't change, then that will be your biggest pitfall. So my advice to testers, but also to other people, is keep learning. Always look at the next opportunity. Look at what more can I achieve. And it doesn't mean that you always have to be on edge, that you always have to be striving for the best. But if you just once in a while challenge yourself and say, hey, this is something I've never done before, why don't I do it? Then I think you will be surprised at how much you can do. And I think that a lot of people are very reluctant to go into, for instance, test automation, because that's hard. But no, what my saying is always, everything looks hard until you give it a try, and then it might be fun, and you might get something out of it.
That's brilliant. Thank you for that advice, Bart. We really appreciate it, and thank you for being our fourth guest on Huddle Talk. You can tune in to Huddle Talk whenever you like. It's on the Huddle site. It'll be on the homepage, and you can download this podcast and subscribe. So please do, and join us again for our next guest. Thank you.